ready? Here we go.
The Hit Breakfast Show.
All right.
Australia, meet your new McCafe blend. Smooth, rich with a hint of sweet berry. It's coffee fit for an Aussie.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for hitting download on this, the Cliffo and Gabby podcast. We are back after
are
a
back.
Couple of weeks' holiday.
Yeah, the mid-year review's over. Mid-year We're back for reals. Must have been a good review.
Back? Wasn't. You were there. You know this. Back the same day the school kids are back. And as the parent of a seven-year-old, thank God.
Get her out of the house.
But I just find, Gabby, and you know this too. You've got young nieces and nephews and stuff like that. They're hard to stimulate their brains after 2 weeks. Like, I could just see my daughter clawing the walls, you know what I mean? Number one, kids need kids around them, other kids. I can't provide that, even though I am very childish. But number two, I just don't think I was challenging her brain-wise anymore.
Yeah.
She's cluey, my daughter, and I don't know.
And it's hard to get their energy out. Like, I know my nephew, during the holidays, you can't get him to bed because he's just buzzing because he hasn't used all of his energy.
They need to start making those wheels that you put in mouse cages.
Yeah, they can just run. Just run.
Oh, hold on. Yeah,
that's called a treadmill.
It's a treadmill. Take that back. That was stupid. Scrap that from the record.
Eliza Donovan is an American actress who stars in Sabrina the Teenage Witch, but she's best known as Amber from the 90s cult classic Clueless.
Whatever. If she doesn't do the assignment, I can't do mine.
And she joins Cliffo and Gabby for Memory Monday right now.
Eliza, good morning. Welcome to Australian Radio.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
How good was Clueless? How was it filming it? Did you know it was going to be such a cult hit?
You know, that's such a question that always, I mean, looking back, I can say, oh, sure. From this perspective, I could say, oh, we all knew it was going to be phenomenal. But I don't think anybody really knows when you're making something how it's going to be. You can tell how it feels. And it certainly felt like it had all the right elements and, you know, just everybody was at the top of their game. And so it certainly felt like it was going to be a success, but I don't know that anybody could have projected that people would still be quoting me to me today.
Well, speaking of that quote, this is the iconic quote from Clueless that you made famous that we still talk about to this day.
Amber, Miss Stoger, my plastic surgeon doesn't want me doing any activity where balls fly at my nose.
Well, there goes your social life.
Classic.
I need to say, I truly, when I read that, I did not understand it. When I was doing it at the time, I didn't. And I mean, I consider myself to not be a very naive person, but I honestly didn't get it for a while, but I could still deliver it. And then I was like, I see.
That's the joke. I get it.
That's so funny.
What are the things from the set that are burnt in your mind's eye? Like, for me, without even rewatching the movie obsessively like Gabby did yesterday, for me, it's the phones, the big phones that were like the size of a house brick. Like, that's what comes rushing back to me when I think Clueless. But what's your real burnt-in memories from your time on the set?
I remember Brittany Murphy burnt her forehead with a curling iron in hair and makeup, and the hair people were like, no, don't pick that up. Oh. And then, you know, she like, but she was such a dear, a real sweet,
such a loss,
person.
Yeah.
But it was, it was a really great time for all of us.
I needed to ask you because I was actually quite shocked rewatching it. I guess you don't pick up on the small things when you watch it as a teen and you're just loving all the fashion and all the, you know, the American lifestyle. But when I was rewatching it yesterday, I realized in the movie you guys are 15 and 16 years old, the characters are. Mm-hmm. Was that really what life was like in high school in the States, talking about things like sex and drugs and parties and all that kind of stuff at such a young age? Is that realistic?
We certainly, our high school was not like that, but I do think that yes, that people in high school were certainly talking about those kinds of things, but my high school experience didn't look like that.
No, you
know, I think Beverly Hills is a pretty specific, niche sort of environment.
How old were you guys actually when you were playing 15, 16 year olds in the movie.
Oh my gosh. We were all like 104. Brittany was the youngest. I think she was really 15 or 16.
Wow.
And I don't know. I think I was 22.
Yeah,
and Alicia was definitely 18, but she was younger than me.
Yeah.
So I don't know, somewhere in their early 20s, basically, and late teens.
Are you still friends with any of the cast, and any chance Donald. We could see a Friends style reunion?
Oh, well, I don't know. Everybody asks that, but that's really up to Amy Heckerling, I would say, because it's her, her genius, her story. I think whatever, if Amy wanted to do something, I'm pretty sure everybody would be on board.
I did want to ask as well, Alicia Silverstone's gotten on TikTok recently and reenacted her famous scene from Clueless where she's like, L as F, but with her son, which is hilarious. Are you going to be doing that with your iconic lines at all? Like even your whatever with your hands up in a W?
I mean, I guess maybe I should.
I think you should.
I heard that Alicia did that with her son Bear, who's so cute. And he actually, when my daughter was 2 months old, he was the first person to kiss her
Aww.
In her car seat because we were doing some photo shoot for I don't remember what it was for. One of the anniversaries. Everybody's constantly celebrating the anniversary of this film, so I never know what I was like. I don't know.
Eliza Donovan's with us. We're talking a lot about you playing Amber from Clueless, but the other character I want to ask you about that you played was Morgan from Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I've got to ask, was Salem the black cat, the like puppet kind of cat, as freaky in person as he was watching through the television? Because that cat, oh my God, I have scary images burnt into my mind.
100%. It was, well, first of all, it's an incredibly complex machine that they have inside of this cat, but definitely it was very odd and unusual to work with this animatronic cat.
It was,
but the cat was easy to work with because the cat never screwed up his lines.
That's true.
The cat was always where he was supposed to be.
Working with cats is great. I remember watching the show and it was always so strange because when Salem was talking, it was clearly a robotic, like animatronic, puppeteered kind of cat. But then the scene would cut away like to a wider shot and he'd run off and it was a real black cat. Well, we think you are just fantastic.
You are.
Eliza Donovan, you know as Amber from Clueless. Thank you for spending some time with us this Memory Monday. Big love. Thanks for your time.
Thanks. This was really fun.
You're either a nudie or you're not. Mm. You're a nudie?
I'm 100% a nudie. Not at the moment.
Gabby is naked.
Right now, at home, I'm a nudie.
That's why she chose radio over TV.
Ah! Damn, they installed these cameras in the studio and now can't.
Because if there wasn't cameras, Gabby would be naked at the office
all the time.
Clearly. I'm a nudie as well too. My wife is not a nudie.
No, my fiance is not either. Fully opposites
attract, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, nudie and not.
So I will happily like be putting the washing in and I'm like, ooh, the shorts are a bit dirty. They're
yeah.
in, shirt in, neck me knit, fully naked.
Yeah.
And I'm making the sprint, not even the sprint, I'm happy to walk. Windows open, doors open,
yes,
I don't care. From the laundry to the bathroom.
Mm.
My wife's the complete opposite. She doesn't do the nudie runs around that. She's not a nudie person.
Isn't that funny?
And my daughter, who's only 7, very much like her mother.
Interesting. Like,
even though I've still got to run the shower for her because she's 7, I will run the shower or whatever and she'll go to her room and nude up and she'll come down in a towel, 7 years old.
Wow.
So she's obviously got that from her mother.
Yeah.
So it's been very interesting for us waiting to see what Charlie's going to be.
If he's going to be a nude or not.
Our 2-year-old son.
I think I know which way it's going to go.
And it was made very evident over the weekend which way Charlie is going. He was in the backyard playing by himself, which he's allowed to do. We just keep an eye across what he's doing. And what I'm going to do now, I'm going to run through what he was wearing. So he had a nappy on,
yep.
which is normal. He's 2. He had shorts on that had a drawstring
sure.
that were tied up.
Tied tight.
He can't tie them. Do you know what I mean? He's
yep.
2. He had a T-shirt on and he had a button-up jumper on. One that, my mum knits?
Yes.
So it's one that mum knitted.
Yep, cardi.
It was a button-up, like cardi all the way up.
Yep.
So imagine my surprise when I walked into the backyard to find him naked
How?
As the day he was born. And it was like that too, because these knitted cardigans with the buttons, he's 2 years old. He doesn't have a lot of coordination. That's like a straitjacket to a two-year-old.
And a drawstring on the shorts.
A drawstring on the shorts.
Like footy players can't get dapped when they do them tight enough.
And he was loving it. He was loving his nude life in the backyard. He's running around, frolicking, arms in the air. And it was very, very cute watching him. I will be honest. It was really cute watching a two-year-old frolic around naked in the backyard. Cute's not the word the neighbours use when I do it.
No. Unfortunately, after the age of, what, 10? Not cute anymore.
10?
Maybe 20.
36, thank you very much. Day one today, back at school. Hi, everyone. Hi, kids. On the way
Welcome
to school.
Back.
Good on you. Day one of Cliffo and Gabby back from holidays as well.
We're all back.
My wife and I were supposed to go on the holidays, the two of us, to Sydney.
Nice little couples retreat.
Didn't happen. First time in a couple of years we're going to be just away from the kids. Mm. Yeah, it's going to be incredible. Not bitter at all that that couldn't happen and that we had to go to a big four caravan park.
With the kids in tow. Did your parents go as well?
Love the kids, don't get me wrong. Love them, love them, love them. But it's just not what we had planned.
No. Well, not something... what... Yeah, you had other things planned.
Righto.
Anyway, continue.
That definitely didn't happen. Something happened at the Big Four caravan park we were staying at. Mm. So if you're not across the Big Fours, they're the ones that have like the jumping pillows and the pools and
great family fun.
A lot of playgrounds and stuff. Very much aimed at families with kids. Mm. And there was a day we're out and about and we're coming back into the gate of the Big Four caravan park where you get a little swipey and the boom gate to go up. And as we were there, I was swiping the thing and it's coming up. And as I'm just driving through, my wife completely flips out because she sees a celebrity.
Ooh.
Someone pretty famous.
Ooh. Like, I know there's a lot of celebs in Australia at the moment, like Natalie Portman.
Oh, God, no. There's lower those.
Matt Damon. No?
Zac Efron.
Ooh.
All these guys. What's his name? Thor.
Chris Hemsworth.
I mean, he's here most of the time. Mm. Lower it a lot.
Okay.
It was Ben Milbourne from MasterChef 2012, who now has an afternoon cooking show on Channel 10.
Wow.
And she kind of freaked out a little bit. I hit record straight after she spotted him. And this is what went down. There's a bit of a squabble about what she actually said and her reaction and all that, but she acted kind of weird, and this is what happened in the moments afterwards.
Who's the celebrity you saw at the caravan park entrance?
He's not a celebrity. I just said he was the chef.
He's a celebrity.
Well, I just said he was the chef.
You said no, it's the TV guy, Ben.
No, I said it's that TV chef, Ben.
I think you said the word chef. You've sort of freaked out a little bit. You're like, oh, my God, it's the TV guy, Ben. Anyway, we saw the TV chef guy, Ben.
She wouldn't acknowledge it. She was so weird about it. But that's exactly what she yelled out. Like, when she sees him in the car, she's like, oh, my God, it's the TV guy, Ben.
And you're like, who?
Who? What? And then I recognized him straight away. And I'm like, oh, it is that Ben guy. And I went to wind down the window to go, hey, Ben. And she was
like
not having a bar of that. Hell no. But I wanted to put it out there.
Yeah.
On 13, 10, 60. Mm. When did you see a celebrity and act weird?
Yeah.
Or were you with someone and together you spotted a celebrity and that person acted weird? Like the person seeing the celebrity acted weird? Because I think, like Michelle's response, although I'm heaping it on her this morning, I think when you see someone famous, you act kind of weird. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I acted very weird. I saw Sophie Monk out and about one time. And
you love Sophie.
And I had no courage to go up and actually say hi, and I didn't want to disturb her. So I was just taking a selfie with her in the background.
Weird.
And of course she knew what I was doing. This is years and years ago.
I feel like when Sophie Monk's like not all prettied up for television stuff, she's just wearing footy shorts, smoking Winnie Blues.
Yeah. Yeah, well, not
probably
quite
a singlet,
quite the footy shorts.
A picture in a bin tank.
But she's definitely downplayed in her appearance, that's for sure. But yeah, like I think it would be classy to go and say, hi, can I have a photo, rather than just sneaky take selfies, but that's what I did.
Oh, that's good.
And I regret it.
Look, after my wife just freaked out and yells in the car, look, it's the TV guy, Ben! Didn't know his last name. 13, 10, 60, who's done it? When did you see a celebrity and act weird? or throw someone else under the bus who saw a celebrity and just got their full widow on.
It's human nature.
Emily's here on 131060. Emily, when did you see a celebrity and act kind of weird?
Oh, we were down in Victoria at Hepburn Springs, and Sunrise, the weekend Sunrise program, was broadcasting. And I've walked past James Tobin, the weekend Sunrise weatherman, and gone, oh, hi, James Tobin from Sunrise. Like,
oh, hi, James Tobin from Sunrise.
Did he reply?
He's like, g'day. It was really awkward and strange. Yeah.
You just slap your forehead after those moments, oh, don't you? We've all been there.
What TV show I'm on? Yeah. James Tobin from Sunrise. 131060, Narelle's here right now. Narelle, when did you act weird in front of a celebrity, mate?
I saw Hugh Jackman on a train in Melbourne. He just got on the train and I was holding the handrail and he stood right in front of me and I had the weirdest look on my face and I dropped my mouth open and went, oh my God. And he goes, I said, is that you? And he goes, yeah, it's me. And I went, oh, I guess, can I have a photo then? And he goes, yeah, sure. So he took a selfie of himself on my phone.
Oh, that's great.
Is that
can
you?
I have a photo?
Well, yes.
Oh, I meant with me in it, you. You, man. Is that you?
Is that you? I love that.
Thank you, Narelle, you weirdo. We'll go to Martin next. Martin, when did you see a celebrity and act weird, mate?
I was over in England about 2 years ago, and I was sitting in a pub and seeing Benedict Cumberbatch. He had walked in with his family.
Oh, wow. And he's very unique looking, isn't he? So you'd know that it was him straight up.
Oh, straight away. And, I just froze, and then my wife had no idea who he was, and I just started blurting out, like, he's like Sherlock Holmes, he's... Yeah. Off Star Trek, he's Doctor Strange. And she's like, I have no idea.
Martin, what's your second initial?
T. Tariha.
T. I've got your Benedict Cumberbatch name here if you want it.
What is it?
Blender Dick Cumberfinch. Gabby, yours is Blendy Lick Slubber Belch.
What?
Very appropriate. Why don't you come join my where we joined the body party weekend, the girl from Ipswich.
How good was that?
And won Wimbledon. She's just everything I think we want and love in an Australian tennis player.
Yes.
/ sports person.
Well, we haven't had a tennis player to really get behind in quite some time.
We haven't had much to sing about, have we?
No. Not because of the results, but because of the behaviour.
What's the other one? Curious.
Curious and Tommy.
Boys.
Take a leaf out of Ash's book, guys.
Australia's loving her sick right now, but I thought I'd do a little bit of digging. I wanted to find out what Ash Barty actually gets for winning Wimbledon.
Well, she gets our respect for one.
Gets the salad bowl, as you call it.
The salad
big
bowl.
Big trophy that looks like a salad bowl.
The gold salad bowl. Have a barbie.
Make a Greek salad in that.
Potato salad to go with your chicken.
Put a pasta salad in there. Enough to feed all of Queensland. But I actually wanted to do a bit of digging and find out what she physically gets. Because I know when you win something as auspicious as Wimbledon, you actually get a fair bit of stuff.
It's the biggest Grand Slam in the world.
She takes home a paycheck of $3.15 million. So,
hello.
More than $3 million.
That's nice.
That adds to her career prize money, just under $20 million US. So she's doing well.
She's doing very well.
Barty's name will now be permanently added to the Wimbledon honour roll as well too, which is actually a real honour roll. It's going to read 2021 Miss A. Barty. So it's very English, very official.
It's very high school, isn't it? You get put on the plaque if you're a captain.
100%.
Yeah.
Ash Barty will now become a member of the All England Lawn and Tennis and Croquet Club. That's the big one.
Wonderful.
She gets a membership in the All England Lawn Tennis and Croquet Club.
So she can play croquet anytime she likes.
This is the club that organises Wimbledon.
Oh.
And how's this? So this is actually a bit of a thing. Because you know how they're all about the class system in the UK?
Yeah.
This is one of the most exclusive clubs in the world, the All England Lawn Tennis and Croquet Club. The only way to get a membership is to win Wimbledon, all no royalty.
Wow.
It's the only way you can enter this club is by winning Wimbledon, or knowing royalty. So pretty much wow. Oprah is allowed to enter just cause. But Ash Barty has to train for 20 years, blood, sweat and tears, and win Wimbledon.
Before they'll consider
it. To get a look in.
Over the holidays, Cliff, I did what I do best. And I did just that. I went shopping. I went to the shopping centre. I had a look-see around. I spent my birthday money that I was given by my parents. Thanks, Mum and Dad.
I love that Mum and Dad give you
birthday
money.
Cash.
It's like,
I know.
$20 in a card. I'm 13 again.
Oh, yeah. What am I going to spend it on? So I did go to the shopping centre, but something happened that made me stop in my tracks. Literally. So we were on the escalator going to the second floor of the shopping center from the car park. And some little kid decided that the red button at the top was just too tempting to resist. And he pressed it.
Push the button. Red button at
red
the top
button.
Of the escalator
so tempting.
To a kid
yeah.
is like a moth to a flame.
Totally.
It's got to be pressed.
Yes, and he pressed it. And so, of course, the whole thing just stops. We're halfway up this escalator.
It surprised me they put those at kid level.
I know.
I would imagine that must just happen all the time.
Well, I guess because it's an emergency stop, it needs to be pretty easily accessible just in case someone gets
to
stuck.
Everyone. Yeah, probably right.
But no one was stuck. It was just a button that needed to be pressed by this little kid. And his dad was furious/embarrassed because the rest of us had to then schlep it up the stairs. Like we had to walk up this escalator past this kid who was getting in trouble.
I'd imagine it has to be manually restarted as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's key restart.
There's not a green button.
There's not a green button. There's not. But it had me a-thinking, when did you press the button? Because we're all human and it's ingrained in all of us that if there's a button and you don't know what it does, you want to press
you
it.
You have to press it.
You feel me. Push
the button and let me I actually know have the perfect backup story to this. It happened to my dad, who's a house painter by trade. He's sort of semi-retired now. But he tells his story that years ago he was doing a job at a house. It was a pretty well-to-do house. I know it was a big job. He was working on it for a while.
Yeah.
And again, same sort of thing. There was a button, and it was an orangey kind of colour on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
And he'd been working at this house.
No label at all.
And he'd been working there for days. He knew where the lights were. He was all this sort of stuff. And he knew what all the buttons did. But the orange button had just sat there and never did anything.
Oh,
and he's like,
you got to press it.
Can't do it.
Yeah, you
can't
gotta.
Walk past it without not pressing
what does
it
this
today.
Do?
Anyway, well, I still remember it was a Wednesday afternoon. He pressed the button. The alarm went off.
It Who was has a button for the alarm?
It was like
a panic
alarm. Yeah. That was the button. Next minute, security arrives.
I bet.
You had to be like, I'm the painter.
Because how do you turn it off? You don't know how to turn it off.
Sorry. No.
There's no way to turn it off.
Probably had a key.
It's a one-way button. 30,
like
10,
the escalator.
60.
The shopping center.
Yeah. What button did you press? What was the button that was just screaming to be pressed? And so you did it. And what happened?
131060. Give us a call.
Probably a button you're not meant to touch, but you just couldn't help yourself.
Yeah, it's more like what was the button you pressed and then what was the result? Do you know what I mean? But 131060, if you relate to this, like if you've had a button in your life
and you just
it's
had to
like
press.
A magnet, it's it pulling you towards it, you finally do press the button.
What happened?
What happened when you
what
pressed
happened
the button?
What happened when you
pressed
the button?
131060, if you've got a story. We got Diana here right now. Morning, Diana.
How are you?
Good, Diana. What was the button? Who pressed it? And what happened?
Well, we just hired a new statesman in Melbourne. We're over there on holidays, down there on holidays. And, of course, my son has to push buttons because it's, you know, to find out what's going on.
Yeah.
And he opened the glove box and he goes, Mum, there's a big red button in the glove box.
Oh,
and I said, don't touch that button. And he goes, but it's a button, Mum. You might do something. I said, don't touch it. And we're far side of the highway, 3-lane highway in Melbourne. He pushes the button. What comes up? The boot comes up and baggage comes out.
Nice.
No, on the highway.
Nice.
On the highway in Melbourne, yes.
Well, you can't blame him.
You think, son, don't
it's a
press
button.
It. But, Mum, it's a button. Its purpose
exactly.
is to be pressed.
Exactly. And that's what he said. But I need to know. I said, not now. Why drive you on the highway?
No.
Got to press a button.
Got to press the button. We'll go to Chris next. Chris, was it you who pressed the button?
It was my son that pressed it.
Oh.
We looked after a fleet of mining vehicles. Yeah. And there's a big red button in the middle of the dash, which is an emergency distress button.
Yeah, of course it is.
The little fella pressed it, and we had ambulances and police cars and stuff turn
because
up at the shops. And
mining accidents can be pretty hectic, so of course they would have those things a button away.
I don't know, Chris.
Exactly.
I feel like a button of such importance should have some sort of cover over it.
Yeah, it was unlabeled and it was just sticking out of the dash, and he said, my time.
It's my time, Dad.
It's my time. Step aside, Dad.
This is 90s Nostalgia Week, and what is more nostalgic than Healthy Harold? How good was Healthy Harold?
Cliffo and Gabby.
On hit.
So 90s, and I still vividly remember the excitement of rocking up at school on a Monday morning.
Yep.
And
the
van
was there.
Was parked.
And you're just like,
in
yes!
The playground.
Harold's about to tell me about Healthy Carrots, man.
Do you remember, too, the carpet in the 90s in the Healthy Harold van used to go up the walls?
It did.
It was the same carpet.
Because then they could Velcro stuff onto the walls,
yeah,
remember?
Like body parts.
Yes.
Here's, don't smoke because your lungs going to look like this.
Exactly. Well, Healthy Harold's had a bit of a facelift. The van has had $130,000 put into it, and it's currently visiting schools around regional Queensland. I believe right now it's in central Queensland, but, you know, it does the rounds, as Healthy Harold does, to spruik the healthy messaging. When I saw this, though, I was really interested because back in the day when we were kids in the Healthy Harold van, it was Harold was a giraffe that came out of the wall.
Mm. And mysteriously, the woman who was like hosting the session, she would rest her arm inside of a hole.
Weird. So
in the van?
These days, it's a little more high tech and it's a bit more robotic than puppet when it comes to Healthy Harold.
I don't know how I feel about that.
But I've always wondered what Healthy Harold sounds like because he's always been silent. He nods, he shakes his head, he points at things with his nose, but he never says a word. And in my research, I've actually uncovered Healthy Harold's voice, Cliffo. So it turns out Healthy Harold has released a song. It's a single from Healthy Harold's first album, Healthy Harold, Healthy Me. And the song is titled Harold.
Always preaching that, Harold. Always
it's preaching. Titled Harold, We Want to Be Cool Like You. And it celebrates what it means to be cool with preschoolers. So I know it's going to be hard to take in this messaging because you're going to be so enthralled by what Healthy Harold actually sounds like.
Yeah.
But this is just one verse from Harold, Want to Be Cool Like You.
I've met some fools who think they're cool when they've just had too much to drink. But being cool is being in control, or at least that's what I think. And as for smuggling, whoo, you can bet you'll be paying good money just to get bad breath. And if you think that's cool, well, then I don't know a thing, and you know I know a thing.
Wow. Healthy Harold's a 55-year-old black man. He's fantastic
it's
on the
not
piano.
What I expected.
That's a cool Harold. I want to be cool like him.
That was Cliffo and Gabby's podcast. Australia, meet your new McCafe blend. Smooth, rich with a hint of sweet berry. It's coffee fit for an Aussie.